You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
The more information we get, the more we're inclined to conclude that it was not a terrorist incident.
Still no sign of the plane. U.S. officials are said to be concerned over how the Malaysians are running the search.
Well, it's Malaysians, but there's 10 countries in all that are looking around, and you got the militaries of four countries, including the United States, involved to one extent or another. The bizarre, absolutely unforeseeable saga of missing Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. Again, 4 days in, and no one has any idea what became of the plane. Well, I'm so glad we could have Scott Hamilton with the Leeham Group with us, the Leeham Company aviation specialists. And I've talked to Scott several times before about Boeing-related issues, and this is a 777 Boeing aircraft. However, Scott, let me ask you, have you ever heard of a story remotely similar to this where a plane disappears and there's just no sign of what happened to it?
No, not really. The most recent thing that we can think of is the Air France Flight 447 that crashed in 2009 in the South Atlantic between Rio de Janeiro and Paris. But
it was about 10,000 feet of water, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was actually a little bit deeper than that, but you know, a few thousand here, a few thousand there, right? In that case, though, there were radio transmissions shortly before the airplane disappeared. There was what's called ACARS transmissions right up until the time the airplane disappeared. It was outside radar coverage area. In this place, there doesn't appear to have been ACARS transmissions. The transponder wasn't transmitting, apparently. And then you get this radar return suggesting a U-turn, and then it disappears. I've not heard of something like this, at least in the jet age.
Instead of speculating about what might have happened, why don't we work it from the other side, Scott? What can we reasonably speculate did not happen to this flight at this point, 4 days in?
Well, it doesn't appear that it disintegrated at 35,000 feet like some have suggested. And what they've suggested is that, oh, it disintegrated and therefore there's no evidence. Well, you'd have to atomize the airplane to have no evidence.
Sure.
Because there have been bombings at 35,000 feet or 31,000 feet, and you have parts of the airplane strewn all over the place. You've had, and gosh, this one goes way back. You had a couple of de Havilland comets back in 1954 that exploded at altitude due to metal fatigue, as the investigation ultimately found out, and the airplanes came down over water, and there was debris on the surface of the water all over the place. So the idea that the airplane disintegrated and left no evidence, that's just stuff of
right.
science
well,
fiction.
Plus, hasn't Ed Rogers, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, said that no military intelligence has picked up any sign of a mid-air explosion?
Yeah, I haven't seen the attribution to Ed Rogers, but yes, I've seen that reports that apparently satellite surveillance did not indicate any explosion, which also would suggest to me that the airplane did not come apart due to its own structural failure, because if you have an airplane come apart, the fuel would create a fireball, and that's different than an explosion due to a bomb or something like that, and I think that's what people were looking at. So you don't have a fireball detected. And frankly, it sounds like whatever turn the airplane did make may have been associated with a controlled turn, which suggests that either pilots or hijackers were in command of the airplane. Then you have some reports that the airplane descended rapidly which could be a controlled rapid descent or not. So at this point, there's very little that we actually do know.
My guest, Scott Hamilton from the Leeham Company. I've had Scott on several times over the years. We usually talk about Boeing-related stories, Scott. What do you make of this latest report that the plane could actually be 500 miles away from its last known point to the west?
Well, it certainly could be, and it could even be further away than that. It was only about 40 minutes into the flight when it disappeared from radar contact or from any contact, and it had enough fuel to go to Beijing, so it could technically be much more than 500 miles away. It could be a few thousand miles away. But I would find it very, very unlikely that it would have flown that kind of distance without somebody spotting something as big as a 747 or a 777.
Now, one complicating factor is apparently this was the middle of the night. It was about, 1:40 in the morning when they lost contact with the plane?
Yes, that's true. But if the airplane went over any land at all, unless they were flying on the deck, you know, like you do in the old military Cold War days and World War II to avoid radar, mm-hmm. I would expect that primary radar somehow would have created a return off the airplane. Or unless whoever was in command of the airplane really was very careful to go over places where there were no population centers, that somebody would have noticed this airplane, particularly if it was flying low to avoid radar. Now, what's intriguing about that is now that you have the authorities doing searches over the Malaysian landmass as well as the Strait of Malacca, I wonder if that suggests to me that primary radar did indeed create a return off of that airplane to help expand the search area in what is a 180-degree area from the flight path.
Now, eliminating various scenarios that you've heard since this entire saga began on Friday, what do you think is likely, plausible at this point, Scott?
Well, I've felt early on that this was a criminal act of some kind. You know, the idea that the 777, which is one of the world's most reliable and dependable airplanes, would have a catastrophic structural failure of either the airframe or the engines enough to destroy the airplane, to me, was so remotely possible. You know, there's always that possibility, but to me, that was so remotely possible that I kind of ruled that out early on.
Well, plus, if it had happened, we would see some evidence of it.
Yeah, you would. It took a couple of days before search and rescue found the initial debris of the Air France 447 down in the South Atlantic. And what they did, among other things, was, of course, they started at the last point of contact and then expanded the search area from that. But they also took into account winds and currents and things like that. And one of the things that I've noticed on maps that the Wall Street Journal has put up is that the initial search area really didn't take into account the winds and currents that would have moved the debris to the northwest. They went more along the intended flight path. But be that as it may, I kind of ruled out the catastrophic failure unless it were induced by a bomb. I ruled that out in my mind early on. And because the transponder and the ACARs appear to have not been functioning, I kind of thought, well, the only way that happens is if you have somebody turning that off, like we had on 9/11. You remember those four airplanes of United and American Airlines, the hijackers turned off the transponder, but it was primary radar contact that traced the airplanes. So I think that this, I felt...
Now, what if it had been a bomb? Again, wouldn't we at least have evidence on the ground that a plane had been bombed 7 miles up?
Well, yes, you would. You'd have the debris. You had Pan Am 103. Now, granted, that was over land, Lockerbie, Scotland. And you had debris everywhere. In 1985, you had a bomb that took out an Air India 747 over water west of Ireland, and you had debris on the surface of the water that helped pinpoint the location of the main wreckage. There is evidence, and we've had no evidence of any kind.
I know this sounds really bizarre, Scott. Again, my guest, Scott Hamilton, aviation specialist with the Lehman Company. Is it possible that this plane has landed somewhere?
Well, yes, anything is possible. But then you have to ask yourself a couple of key questions. If the plane was, in fact, commandeered for ransom, for example, why haven't we heard from the people who want the ransom?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we have, on the one scenario, something terrible happened overhead. We have no evidence in terms of debris. If it had been landed somewhere, we have no evidence, i.e. ransom demands or any movement by any people who would have survived the flight. So, again, it just remains one huge question mark.
Yeah, there's been some buzz on the Internet. Well, maybe the plane and pilots and passengers suffered hypoxia. There was this case of a Boeing 737 with Helios Airlines that's out of Greece where the pressurization system failed and it was undetected and everybody, including the pilots, went into hypoxia until the airplane ran out of fuel and crashed.
But didn't that happen to the golfer Payne Stewart's plane?
Yes, that happened to that one too.
Okay.
And in the case of the Helios airplane, it stayed on its intended flight path at cruising altitude. If this plane had done its hypoxia, why would it have done a turn? The rapid descent might have been to try to get to breathable air, but you would assume that the pilots would have been able to, once they got down there, they would have been able to make the intended return to Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
And that would have given them, they would have had time to radio. On the other hand, if they tried to get down and finally lost consciousness during the descent,
right,
then the airplane goes flying off into the sunset.
Scott, last question: is there some sort of signal that the black box on the plane would be sending out?
Yes, there is. Well, the black boxes have a pinger to help the people locate the black boxes, but you have to be within range to hear the pinger.
How close is the range?
15 miles. Okay. And then there's an emergency locator beacon transmitter, ELT. That's what caught fire on that 787 in London. I don't know what the range of that is, but obviously you have to be within range to hear that as well.
Sure. All right, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to me, Scott. Hopefully, by the end of the day, we'll have some sort of answer to this. But, of course, I was saying that yesterday.
Well, and of course, it's nighttime in that part of the world right now, so I wouldn't expect that we'll hear anything during our daytime.
Right. Scott Hamilton from the Lehman Group. Thanks, Lehman Company. Thanks again very much for taking a few minutes joining me here.
Sure.
Okay, that's Scott's always very perceptive, but even he says, this is just one massive riddle at this point. When we come back, somebody has jumped parties. It's another Democrat who is running for the state Senate as a Republican, so formidable that he chased the Democrat incumbent in this race out of the race. We'll tell you all about it right after this.
There is an alternative to the out-of-control, spin-it-hide-it and distorted mainstream media, KVI. We tell it like it is. It's all about the facts. Now, let's find some solutions. News and views you can't get anywhere else. Talk Radio 570, KVI.